Yeah, I couldn't figure out. Take two on Radio Fishing. Couldn't figure out why I couldn't adjust the sound. See, I can adjust the sound up and down now.
Up and down. Up and
I got
down.
The right thing plugged in the other thing. I'd be all messed up because, you know, they don't do stuff to find these little orifices like they used to when I was a kid. Shaving everything. So, anyway.
First of all, I'd say congratulations on another short tournament. Successful short tournament you had.
And this is Fish and Frank, and in the chair across from me right now is Captain Tom Fisher. And as always, the crowd just loves him. I mean, they're just happy that Tom's here. Yes, buddy, how you doing, man?
Good day, good day.
All right, yeah, we had a heck of a shark tournament this year, and my daughter took first place in the catfish.
Awesome.
She had never, ever won before. And it was kind of neat because she drives down from Gainesville with her boyfriend, fiance, whatever, and they come down to fish the tournament with my dad. And so my mom and dad took them out on the beach cat, and they're going to go down. Well, the lightning and thunder, remember how bad that got that night?
It was real.
It was very intense. Well, they ended up back at the house. And so I got home somewhere a little after 10, and they said, well, we're going to go fish, and you're going to eat bait. Thing of frozen shrimp and some sardines, and they got those out of the freezer, and they went across the street and went out in the dock, and a little while later we get a text, because you know she's 29, so everything's text.
Oh, sure.
You can't get a phone call.
No phone calls.
No, you got to get a text. About a 30-inch snook they caught, and people keep saying, well, I don't want to use frozen shrimp. I'm like, my daughter catches everything in the world on frozen shrimp.
Sure.
So they get the text about the shrimp. Then about 10 minutes later, I'm just getting ready to go to sleep, I get a phone call. I'm like, oh no, what happened? She fall into water, something's wrong. I don't know, you know, Martians are attacking or something. And she's, we got a great big catfish. She's this big, huge catfish, as big as one I've ever seen. And she's all just jumping out of her skin. So get dressed, go downstairs, put ice in the cooler and get it. I mean, she has a monster catfish. I'm like, holy cow, this thing's huge. And I said, you want me to get it? She said, no, you're not in the tournament. I'll get it.
That's right.
I said, okay. So they fish most of the night. And then the next morning, they're sitting there in the chair. I'm calling her, where are you? She almost didn't make it. $1,200 first prize on that catfish. Her and her boyfriend got to split.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was,
that's awesome.
Yeah, there's...
I hear she's been doing a lot of good things lately.
Yeah, it was her and Robbie and Kai split the prize money. I think Kai got $25. That's her son. He was part of the team. He had to get money.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So anyway, but it was a very nice way to end. And we had some regulars win, but it was good payouts. I mean, it was $1,200, sure. $800, $400, and $300, and then $850.
Well, the sharks are plentiful out there. Everybody that I talked to, including me, caught a lot of sharks, not the right species, and the ones that were the right species weren't big enough. And but there's just, you know, that's a good night of fishing. If you can dodge thunderstorms and the rain.
It wouldn't live up. The locals would be just disappointed if it wasn't. Somewhere in the harbor has to be really nice. Like, sure. I heard over by the Mayaka was pretty good. But the rest of the harbor for about, what, 2-3 hours?
Probably about 5 hours. And it wasn't good. It wasn't good around Boca.
It wasn't good at all.
It wasn't good at Boca.
I bet you there had to be a lightning strike about every 15 to 20 seconds for several hours.
Yeah, I was running a big boat, tropical transport that we owned, and 32-foot. Actually, Raleigh Anderson with ATS owns it, and I drive it for him, captain it. And like I say, it's a big boat, and we ran a couple times, and it was
you're
real.
A 32 and you start running towards land, you know it's a little nasty out there.
It was nasty.
Carl had, he was out there in the bus, that big 24 skiff we've got, and they're all anchored up, and all of a sudden the storm hit, the lightning going, everybody else just takes off. Carl sat right there. I mean, I pity the guy. You know, if you say you want to fish and you're with Carl, you're going to fish. They didn't move. They're bailing water out of the boat and everything. It was a tough thing, but they made good money. Him and the other guys, I think the three guys in that boat, I think they placed, two or three of them placed in the Stingray.
Wow, awesome.
So it was
awesome.
You know, but they deserved it. I mean, they sat just
not
quite
like
in the middle of the harbor through the whole storm. They just dropped the anchor and sat there. That takes cojones.
Yeah, I'm gonna move out of that lightning's way. I'm gonna give it good birth.
Oh, me and you, I've been hit by lightning. You want to know why I'm the way I am? Try. I've been struck by lightning, dead on, knocked out. I've been sideswiped by lightning. Got zapped by lightning working on a brake on my RV one time. I was working on the brakes trying to get the brake working. And I just had one more little hose to connect up and then bleeding it out. And all of a sudden, the rain started, the water started pouring down, you know, from the rain. And then the lightning hit it, and I got zapped being in the water.
Oh.
So, me and you, when I hear the lightning, you know, I've had radiation treatments in my brain. I've been struck by lightning. I am ready not to be in lightning.
I'm moving. That's a safe thing to do. If you can see the flash and hear the thunder, move. That's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, it's close enough. Because you can, I've seen it take the bottom out of boats.
Sure.
It doesn't really, I've never really heard, I've heard of extreme cases, but the most common thing is it'll turn the bottom of the boat into jelly.
Sure.
It doesn't really poke a hole in it, but when you start pounding back, all of a sudden you end up, the hull starts cracking.
Yeah, usually you're in big waves and you're in a storm like that, so
yeah,
it's not
so
long.
It's not good, even if it doesn't hurt you directly. Now, if you got a lot of aluminum, it's not a bad idea to throw a ground wire into the water. You know, you got a tower on the one boat, and yeah. It's tough. But you've been doing a ton of charters. You haven't.
Oh.
You've only had one day off in the last month or so.
Yeah,
we've been busy every day.
We've been real busy. Yeah, April, May, and June are really, really solid.
And this Captain Tom Fisher and Fishbones Charters, and so
chasing,
I guess tarpon is what you've been doing, right?
Mostly tarpon. We've been chasing them. They're starting to move to Tampa now. They're going up the beaches. They've hit these big tides, big moon here in June. And they're starting to roll on now. They're starting to move back and everything. And it's really neat because they've tagged that great white that's running around in the Gulf.
Right. There's three of them they've got tagged in there.
Right. And they're moving. The same thing. You know, the sharks are moving, or the tarpon are moving together that
way.
Well,
great white's going to eat tarpon.
Sure.
I mean, you know, how do you turn down that bright, pretty silver fish?
Sure.
It'd be stupid not to, you know.
It's funny, though, that they had it down below us, and
right.
The tarpon were here for the big moon. And the tarpon jumped to the beach and, you know, within 5 miles or so, and they're starting to move to the north now. You know, they're getting ready to go to Sarasota. You know, they're already in Sarasota and heading to Tampa, and things are starting to move that way. And I just saw the shark report just on the way over, and they're up there just, you know, the one that I'm watching, anyhow, he's just above, he's kind of like in the Steinahatchee area, and they're way offshore,
right.
But he's going that way, too.
Nah. Well, you know, you go where the food is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're sitting there outside town in the middle of a field and you're hungry, you might want to walk into town and find the nearest, you know, burger joint.
That's,
you know?
Right, exactly.
So,
but, you know, the things are, the water is, we're getting our rains. You
right.
know, we're getting
now
our
the
rains.
Rivers jumped from 1.5 feet up to 5 feet in the last few days.
And I know people are saying, well, we're not talking about fishing, they're not telling me about lures, they're not telling me about this and that and where to go. But the huge thing about fishing is actually the environment that's around you at the moment, and the time of year. We've been waiting, the bait's been waiting, and the fish have been waiting on this rain to come, which we've got in Florida. You know, in the afternoons we get these thunderstorms, Gulf breeze blows in, and like you say, like you were just saying, you know, the rivers are jumping up, which we have the Coosahatchee, we have the Peace River, and the Myakka River,
mm-hmm.
that just dump right into our harbor. And
if you don't know the water conditions, you don't know the fish.
Nope. And now's when if you're snook, trout, red, you know, back bay fishing, what I call flats fishing, now's time to start going up harbor. No, going up
right.
river. You know, instead of the Sound and Old Bay, Turtle Bay, it's start time to start going up towards the Myakka. You know, start
Heather
going
walked
over.
Out with a frozen shrimp and got a 30-inch snook right there on the river.
There you go. That's
you
what's
know?
Happening there. They're,
oh, yeah.
they're meeting the hatch, you know. You got the shrimp and the crabs and all the stuff flushing out of the rivers, and things are everything's starting
little
to go up.
Little paddle tail baits, the DOA cow shads,
uh-huh.
that 4-inch paddle tail shad. They're rocking it right now. All those little paddle tails are just knocking. The snook are just sucking them up like crazy.
And another thing that's happening out there in the bay right now is you're getting a lot of weed lines and a lot of grass floating, which is because of the big moon and the big tides that's pouring through the pass. And it's hard to throw an artificial, you know, out into the harbor around the corner there
yep.
in the dog leg because of that. And if you just come up the river some, it all clears up, and you can, you know, artificial's great up in the, you know, upper harbor right now.
Now, what's your artificials?
I'm still with the same old, same old.
Storm bait.
I'm using a storm bait. I'm using a zip and ziggy and a skitter walk and a jerk shad. And that's only the only four that I ever use.
Yeah, well, you've been real consistent with that. Yeah. And
they're real friendly to anybody that picks them up. You can buy them in the store, take them out, and practice with them while you're fishing. And within 30 minutes, you can throw every one of those baits.
Yeah, we've... I mean, you've made the Storm Twitch Stick the number one selling lure in Southwest Florida.
It's a good bait.
No, it has outsold since you've been pushing this thing, since you've been talking about it, because you caught so many fish with it. Literally, I think it outsells every... If you took the next 10 combined, would probably be what that one lure sells.
Well, it works in freshwater just as good as it works in saltwater. I'm not a big freshwater fisherman, but I've sold it, you know, or told people to try it.
Oh, it's a bass lure. That's what it started out as.
Yeah, and
it's
they come
for
and
bass
me.
And all that other stuff. So, no, you're exactly right. It wasn't designed for what you do to it.
Right, exactly.
It really wasn't. And we've had guys come in that have caught 48 snook, but when they get into those ones even bigger than that, sometimes the lure pulls apart. I'm like, what do you expect?
Yep, exactly.
I mean, you've got this little lure that you're catching these monster 30, 40-pound fish on. You can't horse them.
Yep.
I got to get them out of the trees. Well, yeah, but, you know, you're taking your shot with it.
That's right.
But it's $6.49 for the lure.
Sure.
It's not a $13 lure or whatever. It's $6.49 regular retail. So,
yep.
Great price, great lure. Storm did an excellent job on that bait. I don't even think they knew. Until you discovered it, when you took it out, you were catching all the fish. Robert tried it. I tried it. Several of the other captains, and it was the only lure all of us caught fish with. So that's how it got to be so popular, is that anybody can catch fish with it.
Exactly.
Best if you start and stop it.
But I find.
But, you know, a lot of people just throw it out and reel it in. But anyway, going back on, so... Now, with all that grass and everything, that soft plastic jerk bait is going to be a real good idea.
Yes. You can make it weedless.
Make it weedless, yeah.
And there's, you know, a rainbow of colors of jerk shads you can buy. So, whatever, you know, the water is.
What do you think the colors is now, and what do you think it's going to be in a couple weeks?
I'm going to gold and pepper flake.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the
what
gold.
Are you using now?
I'm using the green, the...
white and green?
White and green and the pumpkin seed.
Kind of the brighter whites and
oranges, you know, the pumpkin orange with the
now you're
pepper flake.
With the water coming down, planning going a little darker.
Going darker, yeah. And what are the waters getting
going
darker?
Green. No, we're going dark.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know why. The movie Twister, it's just, I'm into that movie. I have no idea why. Cow! So, anyway, but... on the fishing around here, have you been on the beaches lately?
That's where I'm. Yeah, I've been.
That's where you've been on the beaches.
Yes, I've been on the beach a lot.
All right, describe what you do to find a tarpon out there on the beach, and are you using crabs, thread fins?
I'm using both crabs, thread fins, even pinfish.
We've been hearing talk about grunts,
anything
squirrel fish,
anything that's wiggling, you know, and they'll eat. You can throw grunts. Into them for 15 minutes. If they're not eating it, try a thread fin. If they're not eating that, try a crab. I mean, you just got to keep moving on tarpon.
Well, I tell people, they say, well, you know, aren't crabs good bait? I say, yeah, do you like Italian food? Well, yeah. I say, do you stop at every Italian restaurant every time you see one?
Yep.
No. So you got to mix and match. Find
exactly.
what they're hungry for.
Exactly. And when they'll eat something one day and they don't want it the next day too. You know, it's the way it is.
It could be different nutrients and vitamins with the different types of bait. One has more proteins and one has more oils. One has more of this or more of that.
Sure.
And even, you know, people get hungry for something, a craving for something. And now, like... I need dark chocolate, you know. I need vodka. You know, these are some of the things, you know, you just get cravings for, you have to have, you know.
Sure.
And so maybe there's a little higher content of something in a crab or a fish that the fish would want. Now, are you finding, you're going along the beach, how are you fishing for them? What are you doing to get on these fish?
Well, the beach is a tricky spot. What you want to do on the beach is take your time. You need to, once you get out to where you're going, I run offshore, and, you know, you're a mile off, That way you're leaving the boats that are already in there alone. Get to where you want to go, where you want to start looking at, and you'll, you know, put her on plane and just come in, and then you want to shut down and just idle. I'm staying close to the beach, you know, maybe
100 feet?
Yeah, maybe 100 feet off the beach, and just idling. And just making way. I mean, just idling. Not a little faster than a no wake, but no wake. You know, really slow, and you're looking
Well, the key is, all around. Is not to kill that motor and not to change the tempo.
Right.
Making sure you don't change speeds. Keep the motor going at a constant.
And it's at a good idle, you know, where you're not throwing a big wake is where I like to be. And that gives you time to spot them way ahead of you. Because what they're doing on the beach is they're not coming up and rolling like you see them on the hill and in the harbor. So you may see one come up and just a tail, and then you've got to stop.
And the problem is if you're going too fast, it changes the noise too much, sure. And it spooks them off.
And the first thing I do, as soon as I think I see them, a dark shadow or something that could be that, hit neutral, turn the engine off, drop the trolling motor. And a lot of times I'll be idling with the trolling motor already in the water. And you get on the trolling motor and you kind of ease towards where you're wanting. And you don't want to get up there. You want to just get to where you can barely cast to them. Because what you want to watch is which way they're moving. Once you determine, oh, that is a pot of tarpon, and which way are they going? Are they going north? Are they going south? They're coming in. They're going out, and you want to get in front of them. So you don't want to run right up on top of them. So you're going to just kind of pause once you think you have them, and watch them for a minute or two, and then determine which way they're going, and then either go out and around them with the trolling motor, or you want to, and that's what you want to do. You want to get in front of them, whichever way they're going. If they're coming at you, well, you want to turn around and start going away from them and throw back at them. And keep your bait always at the nose. And
They don't eat much out of their tails, so mm-hmm. It's always best to get in front of them and keep those baits presented back from the boat.
And they're
if you see them coming at you, turn around and start going forward really slow.
Sure.
Expecting to pick up speed as they catch up to you.
Sure.
And
I try to stay as far as I can. I mean, if I can throw, I just barely want to cast, you know, at the nose of them. And let them come into your bait. Let them find the bait. You know, they're pros at it. That's what they do for a living. So let them find the bait. Don't try to force them. Don't throw it in the middle of them.
Now, are you mixing and matching how you're presenting? Are you doing all free line? Or are you putting some sinkers? Or what are you doing?
Most of them are bobbers and free line.
Okay. You know, how far below a float?
It depends on the depth you're at. If you find them, you know, within 100 yards or 100 feet or so of the beach, you know, you're going to be in 5 to 6 foot of water, so you want them to be three, 4 foot underneath the water. If you're further off where you're in 10 and 15 feet of water, I try to put them, you know, 6 foot. So they're somewhere, right. You know, the crab is going to be closer to the bottom, but you want them off the bottom like he's swimming. And a thread finner or a grunt or anything like that, I try to keep suspended, because what he's going to do is he's going to be digging to the bottom, which out there is actually digging long way. So he's going to be, if you have him at 6 foot, he's really going to be at 3 foot, and he's going to be digging.
That's excellent advice, because understanding how your bait reacts to being on the line is really the difference between catching fish and not catching fish. Because if you don't understand a grunt or a pinfish, they want to go to the bottom, and they're going to fight against that leash. You know, you put the hook into him, it's putting him on a leash.
Sure.
So he's in a specific area, and you put the float on. If you don't, he's going to go down and hide in the first bunch of weeds he can find.
Exactly. Even on the beach, even if it's sandy out there, there's still rocks and crevices that he can get into.
He's going to snag you up. Yep. And so it's really key when I'm doing pinfish and grunts and stuff like that. I really like to keep them on the floats, bobbers, some type, just to keep them off the bottom, keep them from hiding.
Sure.
I don't want him to hide. I want him to fight to hide.
Exactly.
And like you say, he's going to pull down. When he can't go down, he'll follow that line up a little bit and eventually start working straight.
Sure.
So anyway, let's see. Now, if you're going to pick a couple lures, have you had any lure success lately?
I use the Storm swim bait.
Okay.
That's out there. The 5-inch.
Yeah, that 5-inch has been real good. It's the Berkeley Power Bait or the Storm Swim Shad, the two of them are kind of mix and match. Now, the only thing I think I like about the Power Bait is that it has the smell built in. It's a stinky bait.
Sure.
But in that clear water, I'm depending more on sight. I want them to get excited about it before they get there.
Sure. Sure.
And it's not hard to fix. I mean, a little bit of spray from anything will make that bait smell good.
Sure, exactly. But that's at last, I'm not using a whole bunch of that right now. I like to use the live bait for them, or crabs, you know, something real.
Now, up in the harbor here, things are going to switch around, and we're going to be throwing root beer bait busters and swimming mullet, heavier baits like that, the 5-inch power baits, 5-inch...
you're going to have we have a big flush of tarpon storm. That are moving to the upper harbor now, that aren't ready to go with the big girls, and they tried, they came out, they socialized, and they said, well, you know, maybe next year, and now they're all coming back, and you're finding that the big hole, you know, the main deep hole in the North Harbor, and the 41 bridge, and the dog leg up here, is holding a lot of tarpon, up to 100 pounds, and you're going to have some bigger tarpon with them, of course. You know,
and you're going to be able to fish those tarpon, I'd say, till
October,
at least September, August, September, October, depending on rain and weather and everything.
But just as the past flushes all the shrimp and crabs out, which has just been going crazy, your shark tournament, they were just but the zillions going by all night long. But
it was a real late crab flush this year. Real late crab flush.
And that's because our rains came late this year, I believe. I mean, but as a natural occurrence in the past, and all that's happening there slows down because the big moon's going away from us. But the rivers are picking up, and that's just the same thing as the past and everything coming through there out of the piece. And the Myak is coming down, and it's flushing right into the harbor, and that's coming down. So that's just a whole nother flush. And that's what they're running to. That's the homesteaders' flush. That's their feed.
But the good thing is there's a lot of stuff going on out there. You got a lot of different tarpon fishing, mornings, evenings, nighttime. It's all great. Middle of the day is a little rough right now.
Yeah, but it's hot.
And it's hot. I'm telling you what, if I'm going fishing right now, I'm leaving at dark. I'm in the boat as soon as I can see. Going out fishing, and I'm done by noon, 1 o'clock. I want to be in the house in the AC with a cold one by two o'clock, and from 2 to 5 I don't want to be on the water. After 5 I'm ready to go back. That's fine.
Sure. Yeah, it's brutal out there, and it's going to get that way. It's July, August.
Right, it's the same thing every year, but every year. You know, 4 months ago we're telling people, don't bother, you're not going to catch fish till, you know, 9-10 o'clock anyway.
Right.
But now the things have changed. We're full on summertime weather. Get out early, get done early, and then if you're going to take a break, be off the water from 1 to 5, plan on getting back in the boat around 5, and then you've got that last few hours of sunlight, the last few hours of the daytime. The sun isn't intense once it starts to slant.
Exactly.
So really good to get out there in that early morning and evening. So I guess the question I like to ask the guests, if you were going to send somebody out fishing tomorrow, what would be something they could do?
It depends if they're going to throw artificial or white bait, or, you know, live bait, or what they're going to do. There's a lot of stuff going on, and it's ladyfish and trout, and there's a few pompano showing up just on your reef. So I would send somebody for a bite. I would send them to the reefs, which is the sandbar that circles Charlotte Harbor. We call the reef.
Okay, so you're saying go to the east side or west side, right along the bar. I'd probably say the east side outside the bar is going to be the best one. With the rain we're getting, that's going to flush that west side.
Yeah, but Myak is coming down. So, I mean, the Myak is pouring down, so that rips right down the west wall.
So that could enhance it for right now.
It is. I believe truly that it's you know.
It's an enhancement at this point.
And your thread fence.
You're picking the west wall for as far as a lot of fish activity. Staying outside the bar, working at what? 4 feet of water?
Yeah, 4 to 6.
4 to 6?
It's putting you in a position to catch a lot of different things. You're going to have a shot at cobia. You're going to have trout. You're going to have Spanish mackerel. You're going to have ladyfish. And you can have some bluefish with them.
Now, your best advice to pick a spot, anchor up, and wait for the fish? Or are you going to troll? Or what are you going to do?
Well, in the mornings, we have a light breeze. Usually coming out of the east, northeast, something like that. That's the way it has been. So you can drift. I like to drift. I don't like to anchor. If you're going slow enough that if you see something, you can drop the anchor. If you get a bite, you can drop the anchor. And you're not running.
Right.
But it keeps you, your cast is going 2 foot every time you cast.
Right.
further than what you just did. So you're eating up more ground every cast. You're just kind of taking in more and covering what you did. Taking in a little bit more, covering what you did. And then when you get
a bite... So you like casting ahead of the boat, ahead of the drift.
I'm ahead of the drift.
Do you drag any lines behind you while you're drifting?
I don't drag anything behind me because you're drifting so slow that it hits the bottom and it's going to weed up.
Gotcha. So keep casting in front of your drift.
Sure.
And throw it out there. Be very conscious of the slack in the line, because if you don't keep up reeling as it's coming to you...
Well, artificial, so you're bringing it back.
Okay, so you're throwing artificials. You're going to be using jerk baits and the storm switch and that kind of stuff.
Now, if you're going to be live baiting, I'd still drift, but don't throw ahead of the drift. Throw towards the reef.
Okay.
A little bit ahead and towards the reef and watch it float down past you. And once it gets level with you, reel it in and cast above you again.
So you're going to cast right at the sandbar ahead of you and let it drift up and then bring it in.
Yep, you don't want to drag it. As soon as it starts to get behind you where you're dragging it, reel it back in, and you'll do it again.
Now, I always cheat, because when I'm drifting, I throw one on a float and I throw it behind the boat, because forever when I'm out there, there's always a fish. I'm sitting there casting. Right behind me, this thing shows up.
Sure.
I mean, it always blows up right behind me. So I've gotten the habit of leaving a line out the back
That's a good idea.
Just kind of my... You know, okay, I know you're going to do it anyway.
I got you covered.
Yeah, I got something there. At least I feel better about it. But anyway, so you got a couple open days coming up, or you pretty much booked full for a while?
I'm booked until like the July 4th.
Until July
4th off, yep.
Okay. Well, that's cool. You know, well, it's nice to advertise a little bit, but you do have some open stuff later in July and August.
Later in July and August, I do. And so I still have, you know, a handful in September and October.
Yeah. Now, at one point, you break off and do a lot of hunting, don't you?
Well, August 1st starts your archery season. So I usually get archery in. And then...
Now, you guide for deer and hog and all that other stuff.
Sure.
So we got to talk more about that as it gets closer. But if you're thinking about coming down to Florida, how's the hog hunting been?
Hog hunting, we're trying to eradicate it, which you can't. So there's a lot of hogs. They're easy. The big draw...
Now, can you do the hogs with the bow?
Sure. Sure, yeah, we'd be bow hunt them, rifle hunt them, the whole nine yards.
So if you're sitting there and you want to add, you know, Florida wild hog to your bucket list, or, your, you know, take it off, because don't we have a different species in some other areas?
Not of a hog. Our big draw to Florida is the Osceola turkey.
Yeah.
South Florida is the only place you can get an Osceola turkey. And
now, are the coyotes ravaging them up pretty good?
And we're taking, you know, the coyotes is a... It's not an animal that's been here. It's moving in.
Right.
So we take those at any chance we get.
Yeah, you know? You take out the coyotes any chance you get.
Right.
I mean, it's good for them and it's good for everybody else.
Yep.
It doesn't sound like it would be, but it is. But so if somebody's out there and they want to get that hog, they can just give you a call. Click his picture right next to this, you know, where you clicked on the radio show, and it'll take you right to Tom's website. And you can go out, catch your tarpon or your shark, and then you can go, you know, bow hunt your hog or rifle hunt your hog. That's always pretty cool. And then when turkey season comes around, you got a shot at that Osceola turkey.
And so, back bay fishing's, like I say, it's picking up. I do back bay this time of year. In between my tarpon, and a lot of times we'll tarpon fish for the morning, you know, on the moon, and then we'll go back bay fishing for the afternoon or something like that.
If you're doing a whole day, I can't tell you how much better I feel about a captain who says, okay, we're going to split it up.
Sure.
Because to sit there, and when the tarpon aren't biting, and just sit there and sit there, makes me crazy.
Yeah.
I want to go, let me go catch a snook or a redfish or a shark or something.
You got to bend the line. You got to have some action, you know. And you hit the tarpon on the turn of the tides, and, you know, when they're going to be eaten, and when you think you have the best chance, and then you get away from them. I mean, the rest of the time you can look at them. They're pretty to look at. But, they're not eating. They're not eating. Tarpon are a funny creature.
Yeah, and they can be very frustrating. And, you know, to break away, go catch a snook, redfish, you know, have a little bit of fun, maybe grab a couple black tips or something, and then go back out, maybe hit the tarpon again. I find that when I'm not thinking about something, not working at it, it happens better.
It works out sometimes.
Yeah, it works out a lot better. Every time I'm so focused on it, it just doesn't work. You know, I can't think. I do everything wrong. So I like the idea of splitting it up, and because... Really, if you're fishing in the harbor or, you know, even around in the hill, you can shoot right over and catch a few snook, break your curse, come back, and put some big fish, you know, start off with big fish and go to monster fish.
Sure.
You know, it really works.
It does work that way.
So anyway, this is Fish and Frank in the chair, and we got Captain Tom Fisher in the chair across from me, and this has been a Radio Fishing. Any last words for the people?
Happy 4th of July. That's what's coming up.
You'll probably be back before the 4th. This is only mid-June.
You got to get them psyched up for it.
Nah. I'm not psyched up for... I don't know what we're going to do for the 4th. I was thinking about a party, but I'm not sure. I'm so tired. We'll see what happens by the time we get up to the 4th of July.
There you go.
Anyway, it's a long ways away. It's 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Anyway, a happy prep for 4th of July from Captain Fisher.
There you go.
You know, happy. Get yourself psyched.
Get out on the water.
Yeah, that's the best
advice. Any day out on the water is better than sitting home on the couch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and let's face it. I've tried to watch TV lately. Nothing. There's 300 channels on the TV. And somehow when we had 3 channels, there was usually something you could watch.
Yeah.
And now, no. So, anyway, I bet that's why you're listening to Radio Fishing.
There you go. So, go USA Soccer, too.
Oh, yeah. That's what, Portugal or Uruguay or something?
We won last night, so we have another one.
All right. Go USA.
There you go.
All right. Fish and Frank, Captain Tom Fisher. Thanks for listening to Radio Fishing. Bye, y'all.